Augustine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In many ways, brothers and sisters, our Advent season begins similar to the ending of our last year of grace and favor. The Church turns our minds to a contemplation of the world that is to come to an end, and the world that indeed will follow it. And so it is at the beginning of the Advent season. And both of these admonitions, these exhortations, are given to us precisely so that we may prepare ourselves for when that day comes, whenever that day actually is. We know not the precise hour or the precise moment, but it is not ours to know either the precise hour or the precise moment. Instead, what is required of us is a vigilance in living our daily lives so that we are prepared that whenever that moment comes, we will be able to meet the Lord without fear, without trepidation, without any type of anxiety about the things of the world. What is unique about our Advent season is that we now have the time to prepare ourselves for a deeper contemplation of the fullness of the mystery of the Incarnation, which gives meaning to all the things with which we struggle and all the difficulties with which we must contend. The world only makes sense in Christ. There is no other way. There is no other reality. And so the coming of the Son of Man, who takes flesh and dwells among us, gives meaning to our very existences. And so everything about our lives must be wrapped up in the mystery of Christ. And this is a concrete reality. As I was meditating this morning on the office of readings, the prayers at Matins and the prayers and the readings that are given to us, I was struck by the manner in which St. Leo the Great, in contemplating the mystery of the Incarnation, makes very clear that our preparation requires that we starve our bodies, that we beat our bodies literally into submission, because the flesh always wars against the spirit. They don't have to be in conflict one with another. But sadly, at times, they often are. And what the great saint recommends to us, in order to best prepare ourselves for the coming of our Savior, we must subdue our passions, subdue our flesh. We must mortify ourselves. He's clear and concrete about that. So let's also be clear. Contrary to modern sensibilities, the Advent season is a penitential season. Not to the same degree as the Lenten season, but penitential nonetheless. The best way that you can prepare for the coming of Christ, the best way to enter into the celebration of the mystery of Christmas, is to die to yourself so that Christ might live in you and through you and with you. And your dying must be real and true. Now is the time, as St. Paul tells the Romans, to put aside the things of the flesh and embrace the things of the spirit. No drunkenness, no revelry, no debauchery, no wantonness, no jealousy or strife. Put on the new man who is our Lord and Savior. Put aside the things of darkness and embrace the armor of light. But this must be concrete, brothers and sisters. So what are you going to do during this Advent season to prepare yourselves for the coming of our Savior? This is not a rhetorical question. You must ask yourself and then answer it and then seek to live it out. The difficulty oftentimes of the Advent season is that so much of our energy is taking in preparing for Christmas, we lose sight of these very weeks that are given to us to prepare for Christmas. And because it is only 4 weeks and not six, it comes and goes very quickly. So do not waste time thinking about the things of the world or the anxieties of the things that may weigh you down. Instead, turn your mind to the things of God and make the turning of your mind to the things of God concrete and real and true. If there is a particular intensity to my exhortation, it comes from the fact that with each year of grace and favor, I realize that I am running out of time. We simply do not have abundance of decades and centuries to prepare ourselves. Since we do not know, we must always be prepared. Therefore, there is an urgency to who we are and what it is that we are doing in this Advent season. So many graces wasted in the last year of grace and favor. And do I want to be standing in this place a year from now saying the exact same thing? In one sense, yes, I want to be standing here a year from now. But maybe I won't be standing here a year from now. And if I am not here a year from now, where will I be? That too is not a rhetorical question. Nor should I assume blithely that God will welcome me with open arms into heaven. Not because he does not want me. Not because it is not his desire for me. But heaven is not simply laid before us for our taking. We must cooperate with the graces of God in our daily lives in order to take our place in his kingdom. We do not earn it. We certainly do not deserve it. But we must cooperate with him nonetheless in order to go home with him for all eternity. That journey begins now, this first Sunday of our Advent season. Put aside the things of the world, the anxieties that weigh you down. I know that those anxieties are real and true. I experience them in my own life. And then I realize how much of my energy is spent trying to control things that are simply out of my control. I am not the master of my own destiny. I am not the savior of the world. I am not the director of mankind. I can barely direct my own life. Why would God then endow me with the power to direct the lives of others? My task in leading you, in being your rector, in being your shepherd, is to be first example and then to offer sacrifice and to lead you to that sacrifice to the one who will be the one who will save you. I am not the Savior. God alone is the one who brings about salvation for us. And so we are always on guard and vigilant. And as much as the world might be indeed surrounded by the signs of the times, and there are so many things that are shaking the heavens, so many things that are causing distress among nations, warring among peoples, all these things are real and true. But God is more powerful than all of these combined. And there's nothing that men can do in this life that will thwart the power and the grace of God both in this life and in the life to come. The question that I always ask myself, and I think in truth, brothers and sisters, it is the question that rests at the very heart of the Christian dispensation and the nature of our Catholic lives. Do you actually believe the realities that you are celebrating? It's pure and simple. Because if indeed you do believe, then your lives will correspond. If you do not believe, or if these are mere pious platitudes, or these are the pirate code, they're merely suggestions and exhortations, but not the reality in which you actually live your life, then this is not the place for you. This is the place for men and women who are seeking to reform their lives and to give themselves completely over to God. This does not mean we always succeed. And in truth, more often than not, we fail. We stumble and we fall. But we never allow our failures to be the course of the direction of our lives. We never give in to our failures and our sins and make them normative and real. Instead, what we do is we resolve by grace to allow the Lord to pick us up and to set us on the right course to yet again live rightly in his sight. All things are possible with and through and for God. And so the transformation of your life by the power of grace begins today. Soon our King will indeed be with us. Let us use this time to well prepare ourselves to welcome him in his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.